All right, let's get this show on the road. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Twitter X, or the X-Twitter Twitter Spaces. My name is Monty Greenspan. I'll be your host for this evening, or morning, or afternoon, depending on wherever you are in the world. I think it's going to be evening for most people, and then probably afternoon if you're in the United States. Morning, I don't think so. Not even in... Maybe in the Australia, Japan region, I suppose. Anywho, this space is brought to you free of charge by MC Square Finance, building the future of asset management on the blockchain. And of course, today's subject, very important one in crypto. And we've got a panel of very well qualified people. We can even call them experts. Who are going to weigh in and help us hash out some of the things involved in interoperability and cross-chain communication. And we hope that our wires don't get crossed in any case. So let's go ahead and one by one, let's introduce our members or let them introduce themselves. Let's start with DIA. Is that Dia? How are you doing today? Where are you at in the world, if you're at liberty to say? And what's going on?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Thank you for having me. Let me know if my mic is causing any issues, or otherwise I'll keep going here. Yeah, my name is Dylan Hansen. I'm on the BD team here at DIA. That's how we refer to it. But as we all know in crypto, there's so many different interpretations of different names. So I go by DIA, and I've heard all different types of it. Yeah, so I'm based in the US. I'm calling out of New York. I am, as I mentioned, a BD manager at DIA. We are a cross-chain oracle. We are live on roughly 35 L1 and L2 mainnets. We strive to have an oracle product suite that can fulfill the oracle-related
No, it looks like DIA got rugged.
Yep. I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, you're back? Oh, yeah. That's great. That was quick.
Yeah, sorry about that.
You say 35 mainnets?
Yeah. We've been live since 2018, really cross-chain focused. So striving to be on as many up-and-coming and, you know, currently promising chains and ecosystems as we can be in. And just a little bit of a heads up, I have been getting rugged through multiple spaces today. So do bear with me. If I create any difficulties here, feel free to move on and I'll make sure to come hop back in. But I'll keep it short for that, you know, beginning introduction on what we do, and happy to dive a little bit more into our architecture and really what we're doing to provide a unique solution within the Oracle landscape as we dive a little bit further into the conversation. But thanks again for having us.
That's crazy. I had no idea that there were that many mainnets out there. That's got to be an entire piece of work in and of itself. I'm very happy to get into that as we get going. Cram.eth, what's your deal, man?
Hey, I'm Mark. Cram.eth is the only ENS name I could get that sort of referenced Mark, but I'm not an OG enough to have been able to get the mark.eth, but I'm stuck with Cram. Anyways, I'm head of integrations. Yeah, I know. It's still four letters, so it's okay.
You got your name backwards.
Yep. I'm head of integrations at LeFi. Quick explanation of LeFi is that we are a single DeFi liquidity plugin for any type of business that wants to create a crypto experience. So we can power same chain swaps, cross chain swaps, bridging transactions, zapping transactions across pretty much any chain. And so we kind of see ourselves as, you know, like almost like a white labeled solution for wallets, institutions, and even dApps to build on top of for, you know, end users. To test out right now, you know, MetaMask uses us, Superfluid, a couple bigger wallets that I won't name quite yet are about to launch some products. And that's LeFi, and happy to dive into that further. But I used to be part of the research team at LeFi, so cross-chain communication and interoperability is one of my favorite soapboxes to stand on. Have helped Consensus write some risk frameworks regarding bridges. So this is going to be a fun conversation.
And how do you spell LeFi? Is that L-I-F-I? Yeah.
It is L-I.F-I. It is short for linked finance. Because we link finance across all of these blockchains. We are currently on, I believe, 22 different chains, and we're about to be on our first non-EVM chain coming up. So there's your alpha for the day.
It looks like we're going to be getting a lot of alpha over here. Awesome. Zena, you're up. What's going on?
Hi, everyone. I'm Zena. I am based in Barcelona in Spain. I lead marketing at BlueShift. And BlueShift, to put it simply, is a unique DEX which stores liquidity in portfolios, therefore bringing the ETF logic to crypto space. And as well as we are developing our L0 solution to provide for an opportunity to connect different blockchains and do swaps without using bridges. And I'll pass the word to my colleague, Igor, who will contribute more from the technical side of it.
Yeah, hello. I am CTO at BlueShift, so I'm personally responsible for development and research on the cross-chain protocol that we are building, which is a portfolio-based, actually the first portfolio-based cross-chain protocol across different EVM-based networks and also Cardano network soon. So I'll be happy to answer any questions and dive into more details about our protocol.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the thing about crypto, right? I think that, and I'm glad that we're touching on this topic finally. Those of you who've been in our Twitter spaces before know that we've actually hosted some of the most fascinating Twitter spaces that I've seen on this application that shall remain nameless for the remainder. It used to be the Bluebird app. I don't know what they've changed everything now on me. In any case, literally people who are extremely qualified to weigh in on the specific topics, and hats off to everybody who's been helping organize these. Neha and James, Mark, and of course, Chris and Maureen, amazing job. Getting the panels together and the talking points, and literally very, very, you know, this is some high quality stuff over here. So do feel free, and we're just getting started over here. This is exactly the right time to go ahead and share out this Twitter space. You can do that either in tweet form, or you could just go ahead and copy the link to the space and then paste that link anywhere where people who you feel might enjoy from this conversation will see it. So that could be Telegram or Discord or, WhatsApp, if you do the whole Zuckerberg thing. In any case, go ahead and take just a moment right now to make sure that we've got maximum audience. Let people know that you're shilling your project, especially those of you who are representing a project. Maybe there's a group where they want to hear you talk about it. Just a suggestion. The issue of interoperability to me is really a pain point of Web3 in the blockchain world. We all know that blockchain and cryptocurrencies are the future of finance, and they open up a vast world of freedom and fairness, democratization, which is sorely lacking in traditional finance sector. However, as a protocol, there is no, lacking a single kind of protocol is just very silly, and it can be difficult to get over because, you then require kind of centralized bridges to go from one place to another. And that just defeats the whole point of this thing. So if you've got assets on one chain and you want to move them to another, you've got an issue. And as Dio was saying, 35 base layer protocols. My gosh, how are we supposed to manage this all? And I'm looking to see some solutions proposed today, and maybe some ideas of how we can move forward as an industry. Certainly the notion of tribalism is one that's put into context in the crypto world far too often. But I would propose that everybody on this panel is far beyond that, working with many different chains, certainly MC Square as well, which of course is a protocol for asset management on the blockchain, which is both self-custody and interoperable or multi-chain. Chris, last but not least, we give you the mic. How's your day going?
Pretty good so far. We are preparing for next week, Token 2049. It will be a crazy week. And it's always interesting to meet people you meet online and talk to online, finally in person. And so that's a great way of connecting a network. It will be pretty intensive to unlock our next level. As you very well explained, our core goal is to make token strategies cross-chain and simple. We believe to reach the mass market in the crypto space, users actually should not need to care what chain they are on. They should just basically be able to backup, swap, trade the assets that they want, no matter what chain they're on. And so we want to make this future happen. And I already see on the panel a lot of great companies that probably together we will be able to solve such a challenge.
Well said. So Blue Shift, I think we've already introduced you as well, both Zena and Igor with Blue Shift. It's good to have you on the panels. Is there another speaker here? Or are we just adding more accounts?
We're just adding more accounts.
Right on, awesome. So we'll know who to boot if this thing blows up, and we'll need speaker slots. But for now, good to have you aboard. More accounts, the better. So. Obviously, it's for those of you who are new here and have never done a MC Square Twitter X finance space before, do feel free to grab the mic and knock your fellow panelist over the head with it at any point. You do not have to raise your hand and wait to be called on. If you've got something pertinent to say, please just go ahead, unmute yourself, and say it whenever you feel is appropriate. Only if we get people yelling at each other will I step in as the moderator and just kind of break things up and give people turns to speak. But other than that, if you feel appropriate, go ahead and grab the microphone. But to get us started off, so achieving interoperability between different blockchain networks comes with challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges currently, and how are the projects actively addressing them? So what are the biggest challenges of interoperability? I've touched on this a little bit, but I want to hear from you guys, the experts. What are them, and how do we solve them? And that goes to anybody who'd like to speak.
Yeah, I'll happy to kick this off. Again, not sure if I'm getting rugged here or not, so just let me know if I do. Quick reference to
you're good, man.
35 chains. thank you. Needed that assurance. Quick reference to the 35 mainnets that I mentioned. That's actually, I think, a small number in light of how many there actually are. If you go on DeFi Llama, there's a section for chains, and I think there's over 200 listed there. So this discussion gets deeper, and more grandiose as we continue to think about how many different chains there are, and I guess why achieving interoperability between all of them is so significant. But to get to your question, you know, the first thing that comes to mind when we think about the barriers to interoperability is obviously the technical hurdles. You know, from my end at DIA, when we're looking to deploy on different chains, you know, EVM compatible environments are historically our bread and butter, but we're getting into sort of different types of blockchains, which are using more distinct consensus mechanisms, smart contract languages, and like different overall network architectures. And for us to deploy on, you know, chains which expand outside of simple bread and butter EVM, it definitely takes an additional lift. And when we get into this idea of bridges or, you know, messaging protocols, I think one of the important things to sort of like begin to work towards solving some of these hurdles is basically like the standardization of these communication methods, the standardization of how assets are even listed on different chains. You can have you can have different types of names for different assets as they sit on different chains, and it can become very, I guess, confusing for different users in the space. We also see how there's different sort of security concerns, right? If you're on one chain that has premier security, you want to kind of ensure the same level of security as you begin to branch and use other chains within transactions to achieve interoperability. So I think that there's tons of different things. I'll start with those in terms of addressing some of the technical hurdles of, you know, different consensus mechanisms, different ways of referring to assets, and a lack of standardization, and perhaps some of the security concerns that come along with, you know, really flowing throughout this cross-chain or multi-chain industry in which we kind of exist right now. But happy to pass it on from here.
Cool. Cram, anything to add there?
No, I think the lack of standardization is a great place to start. When you look at the, you know, you can just start at the token standard level for moving assets between chains. And you can even, you can start at a token standard level to say, okay, an ERC-20 token cannot be utilized over on, you know, a non-EVM chain like Solana. The same can be said for, you know, a SOL token coming over to an EVM chain without some sort of, you know, third-party bridge wrapping it. And so then you get to the problem of, okay, now there are 10 different bridges offering a different type of token wrapper to allow for non-EVM to EVM assets to move between chains. And there you're already at, you know, 10 different wrappers. You have a bunch of fragmented liquidity. You have a bunch of standardization issues. You know, as an aggregator at LeFi, you know, that's kind of why we were built, to solve some of these fragmentation issues. However, you know, it really still is going to be an issue as more chains pop up, as more bridges are built. There's really no getting around this. However, I do want to add a spin here, which I think I always, I'm going to go against the grain, but I do think that our interop problems in crypto are inherently like good things and things we should be excited about. Because when you talk about interop problems from the TradFi perspective, there aren't really solutions. It's like, you can't really like be some sort of, you know, open source web developer and then try to build some new payment application that, you know, connects Venmo and Cash App. If you try to do that, you're going to be sued. You're going to be told you can't do that. Everything's closed source. In crypto, we do live in this environment to where anyone can come and look at an L2 or a base layer blockchain and say, hey, I want to treat this like a payment application, and I want to connect it to some other open source payment application. You know, be that, you know, you could connect Arbitrum and Optimism, or Optimism and Solana, and developers can come in and build a solution. I think that's really cool, and I am excited about solving this interop problem. And I think it's an awesome thing that we have all of these different solutions, and that not one solution has come in and ruled them all. I think that's like bonus brownie points for the crypto space, that we have so many developers and exciting ideas. And so definitely do think there are issues, but I try to look at the bright side because it's you usually start these things with pessimism. I want to start with optimism.
I love it, man. I love it. I like the way that you express yourself and articulate. Looks like we've got a new speaker, two new speakers. D-Store, who are you? What are you about? And have you been invited or just walking in?
I'm just walking in. My name is Dustin Lee. Some people obviously know me a little bit, Dia, Dylan. I've been in the Polkadot ecosystem space, so it's a little bit different than some of you guys maybe, but just to mention what we're doing. So basically, D-Store Network, we're a digital marketplace. So we're direct to customer. We're basically using like AR and VR technology to activate clothing. Right now we're just doing wearables right now, but in the future we're doing small to medium enterprises. And we're doing a proof of concept with Sony Communications combined with Astar, which is a project on the Polkadot ecosystem. We're working on creating some type of like DAO infrastructure use cases. But at this moment, we're doing is using Snapchat as a social engagement to visualize the AR functionality on clothing using customizable, verifiable tags. So basically like a QR code, essentially. But that activates the clothing, and then allows you to like see, you know, these active wares like in a kind of a lens, so like a Pokemon Go kind of thing. Basically we're using pretty much a backend right now with like Substrate, but we're pretty much agnostic in that sense. Like everything's more of like a digital receipt, you know, say like an NFT that has like all the information, like documents, pictures, videos, music. Schematics, all that's just, inherent to technology. But the digital receipt is essentially, your authenticity to the physical ware that you own. And then it can either, be combined with it. It can be a redeemable or it could be completely separate entities. But then you could also have the origin story of where that NFT and those physical ware. And then there's also, third-party marketplaces beyond that. But for, like, enterprises, it has quite a bit of use case knowing that this origin of this particular product comes from Sony Communications or, say, Coca-Cola or Bugatti. Their products are authenticated with these digital receipts, with live with it forever if they decide to, like a soulbound. But beyond that, it creates more of a use case for like physical aspects. And that's the kind of the biggest thing I see in our technology in regardless of what chain, specific, if it's origin or if it's like, you decide to, transport it to another chain in some way, if it's multi-sig or if it's an actual like multi-chain, NFT, which we haven't fully realized yet without having some type of like, multi-sig or some custodial aspect. That's the biggest thing I see in this space is that, we do have to trust some type of entity to hold these NFTs or tokens beyond that, or creating some type of relayer that speaks to these other chains and releases the tokens on the chain, which doesn't really make it cross chain, but like, essentially it is a liquidity, bridge. But like our bridging mechanisms are really, we haven't set the standard, and a lot of times we just go with the flow because they have the liquidity or they have insurance behind it. And then we're coming forward to like Oracle bridges and light client bridges. So these standardizations are becoming more prominent, but we don't have anyone advocating as much because the liquidity is there. So no one really cares as long as you have a pair that, equates to this USDT on Solana or Ethereum. And then, whoever holds it custody, multi-sig, is at the mercy of being hacked. And then the fact that, we've already succumbed to that point, with Nomad and Axie and, Ronin or, Wormhole. So like, I feel like at this point, I hope we've already know what to not to pretty much recognize what we need to build in the space, if it's Oracle bridges, if it's light client bridges, ZK bridges. I feel like we're at the preface of this, but like we don't have any standardization, like you guys mentioned, like what that looks like for everybody to be completely agnostic, to kind of be like, this is what we use to build the framework that our technology is built on. So then we can have our own camps. We can have our Cardanos. We can have our Solanas. We can have our Ethereums in EVM layer three or whatever, layer five, whatever it takes to get to that point where we have seamless interactions with token standardization, with security at the most importance. So I think we're almost there, but we're getting there. So
like what I'm missing a little bit is the decentralization also of like bridging and communication technology, because like in the simple strategy, I think if you message like if you want to create tokens on a second chain, you use one protocol to message to the second chain, hey, we would like to create XYZ token. And then you verify that the token on the original chain are locked through a different protocol, like that you actually use at least two, then it should be pretty secure. And the other thing I think that is essential is that on the source chain, as well as in the destination chain, that you actually own the contracts for your token, because like then you can do actually a lot of activities and you can stay in control to maybe change the bridging messaging technologies. And so far, I think the logic is pretty simple on that solution, but so far I did not saw a real implementation that lives up to such standards.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Crypto Bharat, also welcome to the program. How's it going, and what you up to? If you are indeed a real person.
Yeah, hello sir. Actually, I'm calling from India. I am very heartbent for DIA project.
All right, Bharat got rugged. Well, Chris, the way that I like to view this, and maybe I'm not obviously like a technical person or something, but also it's very similar to, the internet and the way that technology has developed until now, right? There's so many different technologies that go into, let's say, a website and viewing it on your screen, right? From the code of the website until it gets to you. So I mean, people can use a Macintosh or, a Windows or Linux. And then, there's multiple different types of browsers that people can use as well. And then going into like the design of the web page, I mean, they might be using JavaScript or, HTML5 or elements of different things. But then what happens is at the end of the day, I mean, it all comes together. And you rarely these days you get like kind of an error notice when you're just trying to visit a website or something like that, or, because all of the different technologies come in harmoniously, you're able to access them through different portals and through different, using other technologies. But at the end of the day, the internet is the internet, and we get kind of this unified, experience across the different spectrum of technologies to use it. So the difference here, right, with blockchain is that when we're dealing with assets, and those assets don't necessarily move from one place to another very easily. They don't necessarily translate from one place to the next so easily. I think that's really the crux of the issue. And that's really, I think what many of the people here on the panel are trying to solve for.
I can contribute a little bit to that. Actually, as a matter of fact, in May, we went to Montenegro to attend ETHCON conference, where we saw the keynote speech of Vitalik Buterin discussing Ethereum's ongoing work and scalability. And he The key problem that he sees is that managing multiple aggregators and ensuring interoperability is still the biggest challenge. And that's actually what we are doing in essence. We are aggregating liquidity across different chains, and we are enabling swaps without relying on bridges, because those tokens are just listed on the portfolios across different chains on our DEX using the underlying L0 cross-chain protocol that we've developed. And I would like to pass a word to Igor to contribute a little bit on highlighting how does our solution solve the problem in terms of security, in terms of speed, and in terms of user-friendliness.
Right. So as mentioned before, many problems actually come from bridges that use wrapped assets for moving liquidity between blockchains, because there are security issues when these bridges are hacked or somehow work not well. And also this causes the again mentioned problem of liquidity fragmentation and several versions of the same asset on one blockchain. So our vision here is that the future of cross-chain should be bridgeless, and that we should allow native swaps between any assets that are natively on blockchains where they are launched and where they have real value, not depending on any wrapping or other bridging protocol. And here we come with our solution that uses portfolio logic for aggregating this liquidity of different tokens into one virtual portfolio that actually is stored on our layer zero solution that is called Blue's Chain, and it is built on top of Cosmos SDK. And this layer zero hold is not just a communication protocol, but it also stores the consistent view of all portfolios, cross-chain portfolios that we have. And these portfolios can consist of several tokens and even several versions of tokens. For example, if you have USDT on Ethereum, on Polygon and other chains, all these tokens can be added in one cross-chain portfolio as one virtual token. And this can allow to aggregate liquidity of this token. And when users swap any token to USDT in this example, the user can get native versions of USDT on any blockchain that he wants. And that will be the real tokens that can be used afterwards. So
this is how we solve the security part. And what allows for fast speed for these cross-chain transactions on BlueShift, Igor?
Yeah, so actually this consistency that I mentioned, that all the reserves that our cross-chain portfolios hold, they all are stored on our layer zero network loose chain. So using this consistent view, we can achieve instant finality of our cross-chain transactions because we know all the reserves, and these reserves are not depending on transactions on the target and source blockchains. They are only taken into account when we perform our cross-chain transaction in Blue's chain. That's why we achieve faster swap times between blockchains.
And what can you tell us about user-friendliness?
Well, the key actually aspect of the user-friendliness is that you only need one transaction, mostly one click to swap a token from one blockchain to another. And this, of course, is the most convenient for any user.
Right. Thank you, Igor. So from technical point of view, this is a unique solution that is using our own technology called Liquidity Portfolios, which has been already market proven for a couple of years. But I also have something despite the fragmentation doesn't only exist in the technical world, it also exists among communities. And there is a notion of rivalry, there is a notion of disconnectedness between the different communities, ecosystems, blockchains, mine is better, mine is faster, I have this finality, I have lower gas fees. And we try to tackle that by bringing together projects, bringing together communities through the creation of ecosystem indices. So you can imagine standard ETFs that group companies on a certain criteria, the best tech companies, the best US companies, the best Spanish companies, right? Agricultural, whatnot. And we are doing the same, but applied to crypto. And when we deploy to ecosystem, for example, right now to Polygon, we are starting to work closely with community, and we are trying to get a grasp of what are the unique projects that can bring this community together, and we have a strong representative power for the other communities that want to come and explore Polygon, Cardano, Ethereum, and whatnot. And this is exactly what we are doing. You can come to BlueShift app and explore all 17 different indices that we have built. It's Metaverse, it's index, is DeFi index, is Cardano index. Now, as I mentioned, we're working on the Polygon index, and bringing projects together essentially brings communities together and forms this additional value that community starts to want to transmit to the other chains. And this is our answer to how to bridge the gap between the disconnected communities.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. I posted a few days ago, without community, there is no crypto. And essentially what a blockchain is at the end of the day is basically a community. It's more than just a technology. I've heard it said before, and I'd like to get, you know, people's take on the statement. So, which is, for mass adoption, we will need to completely abstract away blockchains. Users should not need to care what chain they're on. So basically, I want to get people's take on that. Like, is that correct? But how do we need to be thinking about this differently?
So I disagree with that statement. I think from a builder's perspective, okay, there are layers to this question. I think it depends on the application. But let's just take an example of a payments solution, because I think the number one use case for blockchains is payments. And I think a great corollary in, you know, the TradFi world is that payment applications like Venmo, like Zelle, like Cash App are great.
When we talk about the developers.
Zena, maybe let Krim finish his sentence before jumping in.
Oh, sorry. I probably just don't hear him speaking. Sorry.
Okay. That happens every once in a while on this Black X. A solution for that is maybe turn on your captions. There's a button with three dots on the top, and then it says view captions. This is the bottom option, and then you should be able to read what he's saying right off your screen. That helps for me. Kram, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'll just restart. But I think it really depends on the application you're trying to build. If you are attempting to build, you know, something like a cross-chain portfolio, like what MC Squared is doing, I think an example of a chain agnostic or chain abstracted user experience is great, right? You like deposit an asset, and then in the back end, the application kind of moves funds around between blockchains, and it's automated, and the user has no idea whether their funds are on Polygon or Arbitrum or Optimism, etc. But there's a different type of application, and this is, you know, let's look at a payment application. I think that users should be able to choose what blockchain they're on, and that you shouldn't completely abstract away chain choice away from them. And in this instance, it would be like some users are going to prefer to transact on an Ethereum L2 because they want the security of Ethereum as a settlement layer to back their transactions. And then others maybe won't care about that. and then might want to transact on Solana because they want cheaper transactions. Now, what happens when these two users want to interact with each other, right? What happens if you want to send USDC between a user that prefers Solana and a user that prefers Optimism? What needs to happen is that applications need to build payment solutions where users can choose exactly what chain they want to receive funds on. And then on the back end, you know, applications like LeFi can automate the swap from, you know, USDC on Solana to Optimism or vice versa. So I don't necessarily think you need to abstract the chain totally away. I think it's great if you can allow sometimes for users to select a chain. But it really comes down to what type of solution you're building.
Yeah, and I think that going back to the analogy about technology at large, you know, it's the same thing as like, okay, well, if all I'm trying to do is browse a website, I should be able to seamlessly do it no matter which operating system I'm using. However, if I'm trying to, you know, transfer some sort of a data file or something like that, you might need to be somewhat aware of the different operating systems that we're using, or if you wanted to access a specific application or something like that. But, you know, I think that even in payments, and I think that Andreas Antonopoulos kind of described this world where, you know, the application takes care of that for you, right? Where one user might prefer a specific chain and the other user might prefer a different one. And then, you know, the application comes and takes care of it without the user ever knowing. So I think that to me, I mean, I'll disagree with you on that point and see if we can, you know, agree to disagree, or maybe you've got some sort of a quick rebuttal on it. But for me, I mean, even, yes, correct, payments are the first use case of blockchain. But if I can somehow figure out a way to transfer value between Bitcoin and Ethereum, I shouldn't have to care what the person received. I prefer sending Bitcoin, I've sent my Bitcoin. And if the person preferring to receive it in Ethereum receives the Ethereum without ever knowing that I sent him Bitcoin or caring, I think that seems to me preferable.
I mean, it's the same like with banks. And like years ago, you always needed to know what kind of bank the receiver has before you could send them money. And now with SEPA, everybody has like a number, at least in the European Union, or people who are connected to it. And you can transfer funds to anyone without the need to knowing the bank, nor which kind of department of the bank, like which subsidiary the user has its account on. And I think it's similar in the blockchain. Per default, the user should not need to know, but for sure, if you want to know, if you have a special case, then you should have the option to. Like a core thing in the blockchain, in my opinion, is to have choice. That you have the choice that you don't want to care, or you have the choice that you want to use a special solution. And that for sure also brings the challenge that you need to kind of have both available for the user.
Indeed. And sometimes you might be saving a lot of money not using US dollars, right, Chris?
Oh, yes, yes. Even in a traditional system.
That just happens sometimes. So let's say we're imagining a future where cross-chain communication is seamless. So what are the, going back to Andreas Antonopoulos, and if you guys have never heard of Andreas Antonopoulos, I definitely recommend, you know, watching his YouTube videos across the board. He really touches on this one. Saying, you know, I remember one speech that he gave saying, like, you know, at the dawn of the internet, like in the 90s, like we could never have imagined, you know, Wikipedia or YouTube, right, or Facebook or any of those apps. I mean, those only got built once the technology had mainstreamed. And what I'd like to know is, like, what are the type of applications that blockchain is going to be enabling once it is completely seamless and integrated? And what are the things that we're not even able to imagine yet that are going to be created? Bonus question. All right, nobody's going to jump on it. I'll call him. I was going to call on you, Dia. Good job, man.
All right, perfect. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'll hop in here with something that comes to mind at first. I don't know if I mean, the first thing I think of with a really seamlessly interoperable kind of ecosystem or industry is how much more efficient the whole like GameFi and gaming industry will be on top of, using blockchain technology. I think gaming across different chains is really fragmented. It's really difficult to like seamlessly port your assets from one chain to another and sort of like create all of interoperability between all of these different gaming verses these gaming metaverses that we have within the space. So I do think that ultimately one of the industries or the subcategories of, you know, the crypto industry that would really benefit from this is gaming. And I think that is also kind of coincides with the last question, because this is something that could also help to usher in more mass adoption, something that more of the retail or Web2 sort of type of person will gravitate towards and understand better at first. And then, I mean, this we saw this with Axie, right? How this kind of onboarded an entire region into blockchain. So I think one of the first things that always initially comes to mind when we think about this is gaming. And then on top of that, I guess other types of things would be more kind of seamless DeFi experiences that leverage the advantages of some blockchains, right? So we have like cross blockchain execution where like I think it could become more seamless. And I'm not the best at giving examples of this, but I've heard some really brilliant examples in the past of sort of like trustless execution across chains within one transaction. So you go from like, let's say you want to go and stake or rather unstake your ETH on Ethereum and then deposit it into like you provide liquidity on Arbitrum and then take part of that and port it over to the Polkadot ecosystem and leverage it onto a DeFi protocol all within one click, right? Sort of like this interoperable execution, I think. And again, I said I'm not the best at giving examples of that, but as we kind of get into the idea of more interoperability and leveraging different ecosystems or blockchains for their advantages, I think DeFi is also obviously a pretty promising kind of component that could benefit greatly from that.
I'd like to add here, the biggest thing I see is like the use case with DAO infrastructure, being that you can have someone from another chain be able to participate in another, you know, ecosystem completely without even having to be a part of it, using their tokens as some type of voting weight with the DAO, but not necessarily being, you know, directly connected to that chain. And then like being able to access tooling, I think that's a huge part when it comes to development. A lot of the tooling is very fragmented, or ecosystem specific, you know. Say you want to use tooling on, say, Solana, but you also want to deploy, you know, some type of smart contract on Cardano or like, say, Ethereum. You know, you want your base to use, you know, Truffle, or if you want to use and then deploy smart contracts on, you know, Arbitrum or something. You know, it's like you can do that now, but like what happens if you decide to move your Arbitrum, you know, contract to, say, Solana or Cosmos or Polkadot, or like, it's just that like agnostic aspect of development, I feel like, is pretty fragmented.
I think that's actually a great
point. Especially the base libraries. Like for our technology on EVM, the first version now has about 800 lines of smart contract code. So actually not that much. And the estimation is if you move to Solana or Cosmos, then we probably will end up with like 4,000 to 5,000 lines, just because base libraries are currently not existing on these chains.
It would also be great to see the application that has a strong impact component to it. For example, health record management and the ability to diagnose people faster just by more streamlined communication interfaces.
That's a very interesting use case. like saying that if privacy enabled health data is generally available and there's an interoperability between kind of maybe illnesses that are trending, and then there's automatically money flowing in to kind of solve these challenges again.
Yeah, and even like hospital records or patient records, that kind of data being accessible at a different institution seamlessly, that is a very interesting and very cool use case, you know.
Yeah, and I think ZK proofs can be also applied here for better privacy.
One final thing that I thought of several times is how it could work with spaceships. That actually kind of when you're on a spaceship, it creates a parachain that exists on the spaceship. And when it leaves the connector, then basically the bridges get paused and you have a total kind of amount of equity on the ship that is temporary, like inaccessible for the rest of the network. And it's kind of represents the total value of the people, what the people own on the spaceship. And as soon as it comes back to connection, it then like syncs again and adapts the value of what happened on both sides, which is also very interesting if it's fully automated.
Wow, cool. Igor, you were saying?
Yeah, I just wanted to add to Zena's idea that ZK proofs can be used to exchange health information in a private way so that the users can use it without showing anybody their diseases and so on.
Right on. I think that it was Dia who mentioned the first during the first question, security, and that being one of the major challenges. And of course, security and trust are paramount in the blockchain space. So how can interoperability and cross-chain communication maintain security while ensuring smooth connectivity? That is a question. How do we overcome?
I feel like the idea of like creating consortium chains that we all kind of agree upon, and then we can create some type of like, voting mechanism or something that we all agree to, then we can, you know, implement it, and then we can deploy it on our own specific chains. But yeah, there's some type of middle ground that we need to work on.
Any that come to mind just yet, or anybody who's working on this?
The biggest consortium chain I see right now is Energy Web. I mean, this is in the kind of EVM faux substrate ecosystem, but they're using it for energy when it comes to like Shell and like I think Tesla has a subsidiary as well. BP, and you know, so they're all using it to way to kind of token meter specific energy usage, which is a great use case for like, you know, carbon credits and offsetting, and I don't know how, you know, implemented or regulated is in the way, but like it's still a way for all these corporations to kind of start agreeing upon how the standardization for carbon credits emissions are implemented. So, but then we can use that with pretty much everything, you know, say if we used it with all our ecosystems and we agree upon certain referendums or some type of runtime upgrade or, you know, or whatever our consensus mechanism or, I think some standardization would be ideal, but, definitely some type of consortium chain. I don't know what that would look like, but, you know, it's possible if we all speak to each other at some point.
And isn't that what this is about at the end of the day? And Igor, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. What are, you know, how do we maintain security while increasing connectivity?
Well, yeah, so the main point, actually, as I said before, is to avoid wrapping of assets and to use only native assets so that we do not rely or depend on third-party protocols when exchange our assets that have value. Also, of course, it is important for security reasons to achieve a higher level of decentralization in terms of how many parties are involved in any cross-chain transactions. So, for example, if we use a special layer zero network for these cross-chain transactions, then the more validators we have for this network, then the less chance of any manipulations we have. And of course, the protocol itself should have some internal security mechanisms, especially automatic security mechanisms that can, for example, somehow recognize manipulations, price manipulations, or, for example, flash loan attacks, and prevent these types of manipulation by changing some protocol parameters. So all this in putting it in a system, and also, of course, adding deep auditing of all the code that is executed in cross-chain environment. All this should of course, increase the level of security of cross-chain operations.
Cool. It seems that we also had Jeremy Allaire was in here briefly. I think he's gone out. It's interesting what they've done with interoperability at Circle. I see them, you know, just producing on many different chains. And I think even most recently they announced their participation in Base, which is quite interesting as well. But yeah, I think that's one way to handle it, right? Sorry, not Jeremy, Peter Schroeder. But yeah, let's say another topic, and we're gonna go here for another maybe 15 or 20 more minutes. If you haven't had a chance really to, or if you feel that you haven't really shilled your project to the max, like, go ahead and feel free to slip that in there whenever you can. I'd like to ask about bridges, and this goes to the main crux of everything that so far we've been seeing about interoperability. It tends to rely on these type of bridges, right? If you want assets from one blockchain to another, you've got to kind of bridge them, and then bridges tend to be like the biggest security loopholes that there are, because, you know, a lot of the hacks that we've seen, most of the major hacks that we've seen in DeFi so far have been on those bridges when the assets are most vulnerable. And a recent trend has been kind of in bridgeless kind of interoperability technology. And I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on that, and how does it work? Obviously, I'm not a technical minded guy, but like at a high level, how does it work, and could this be a solution?
Yeah, so I think I can start off there. So LeFi, we are a liquidity aggregator. So we do same chain swaps and cross chain swaps. So we route through DEXs, DEX aggregators, and bridges. Of course, this question is going to be focused on bridges. To kind of go back to your last security point, you know, as an aggregator, we look at the bridge space, and at the moment, there are 117 different types of bridges in the crypto space that are connecting blockchains. Our takeaway from analyzing and building an aggregator protocol on top of these bridges that routes through these bridges is that there's not a single design that is the best. because there are always going to be smart contract risk. There's always going to be reputational risk. And even if you get to, you know, the far end of what we call the trust spectrum and you get to ZK bridges and you get to light clients, you even have, you know, just basic, there's mathematical security there that like there are still trust assumptions. There's really no way to move an asset between blockchains without some sort of trust assumption. Our idea at LeFi is to be a bridge aggregator and allow for users and developers to build cross-chain applications that utilize the best characteristic of each type of bridge. So instead of using a single messaging bridge for every single type of cross-chain transfer, be it token, be it NFT, be it data, we believe that developers should be able to kind of pick and choose. For example, if you are an application that is going to allow users to move assets between every L2, so Optimism, Arbitrum, Polygon, etc., and Mainnet. And we don't think that you should have to choose a single liquidity network like Stargate to move assets between all of those chains. We think that you should find the most efficient path, right? Maybe sometimes Across has cheaper asset transfers between Optimism and Arbitrum. Maybe sometimes Across, I mean, Hop is cheaper between Ethereum and Arbitrum, et cetera, et cetera. So from that standpoint, we think that choice is security there. As for the bridgeless technology, we kind of think that that is a misnomer, in that any type of third-party entity is essentially a bridge. If you have a pool of liquidity that is not native to a blockchain, it pretty much is acting as a bridge. And so we think that bridgeless is essentially kind of uncharacteristic. It's not quite right. And so I think I'll stop my question there and let other people jump in, but that would be my thought on bridge security.
No. Go back, explain that a little bit further, please. Like, if it's not a bridge, then what is a better way to describe it then?
I would say that the best term is still bridge. I think a lot of companies are coming out right now and they're trying to cut bridge out of marketing materials. And I think that it is, it's something that we push back on at LeFi, because again, we're an aggregator. We are bridge agnostic, right? We route through optimistically secured bridges, MPC based bridges. You know, we're going to be adding ZK bridges in the future. We have native bridges. We have arbitrary messaging bridges. We don't care how your bridge is designed. We're going to route through it in order to give developers choice. And so we're seeing a lot of marketing material now that tries to cut out the term bridge or even tries to claim, you know, complete trust minimization. And we don't believe that a bridgeless design is out there or that a completely trust minimized bridge exists. Our take at LeFi is that every single bridge has trust assumptions, has attack vectors built in, and that the way you get around these attack vectors and these security trust assumptions is that you build on top of multiple bridges, right? So that for every single message, you have a fallback option, right? If a bridge gets hacked, your users aren't locked into that bridge's token standard. They can fall back and leave. You've seen a lot of ecosystems get really hurt when bridges get hacked. This is because a lot of those assets are being wrapped into those ecosystems via a single bridge. We don't want that. We want to have multiple bridges connecting every blockchain and allow those bridges to compete on price, to compete on speed, to compete on number of clicks. And so that's really the basis of LeFi. And so I really don't want to talk poorly about any other bridges out there or anyone claiming to be trust minimized or to be bridgeless. But I do want to just slightly push back on that vernacular, because anytime you move between blockchains, there is going to be a third party confirming or denying transactions. And that is by definition a bridge. You can call it an Oracle, you can call it a cross-chain AMM. You can call it many different things, but in essence, it is a bridge. And so, you know, part of my job at LeFi is to educate people there. And, you know, I'm very proud of what we've built at LeFi. I think we are probably one of the best solutions out there for people trying to build secure cross-chain experiences. So I hope that kind of clears up what I was trying to say.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, what you're saying is that, I mean, terminology can be played with and messed around with depending on the purposes of the communication you're trying to get out there. But essentially, if you're moving assets from one or connecting assets from one chain to another, you essentially have a bridge, whether you call it one or not. And anybody disagree with this point? I'd be curious to know. Anybody want to double down and agree with Graham?
Yeah, definitely. I really like that ideology, because really we shouldn't be stuck in some echo chamber of a chain if decides to be loose on their security. Like, it's not our, you know, desire to be stuck into a certain chain because they have certain wrapped assets. But yeah, I do agree 100%. And also just like educating the community on what specific bridging mechanisms, even obviously, is less, you know, trust and minimize is important, and more trust minimize, or if not trustless, which we're pretty far from. But being able to like educate the like ecosystems, like where are we going in that direction to be, you know, more secure in mind when it comes to our tokens, because in the end, we all want to have our tokens. We want that sovereignty. We don't want these tokens to be a wrapped version when that multi-sig wallet gets hacked. And we've seen this time and time again. So I do agree that what you guys are doing, I don't know your project, but it sounds amazing. So kudos.
Yeah, actually, that's mostly the same that I wanted to add, is that, of course, in terms of bridging, it is always there when you have cross-chain operations, but the bridges are not the same. And what we are trying to say when we say bridges is that actually we distinguish bridges that use wrapping of assets and other types of bridges. And we say that wrapping of assets actually is the cause of most security problems, because even if you choose the bridge which gives you the better conditions of bridging at the time you do bridging, it does not secure you from losing your assets if you keep them in a wrapped state. So any bridge that doesn't use wrapping actually, of course, can be selected when you do the operation to do it with the most profitable way and the most secure way, but you need to not depend on this bridge security after you completed this operation. So this is what we say when we are trying to explain users that they should not use wrapping as much as possible.
I agree, man. Every time I give somebody a gift, I just hand it to them. That's the gift wrapping. Doesn't make any sense. No, that's a very good point. Now let's let's wrap this up over here with the final question. And do feel free to add any call to action, Shill, or if you, and especially if you can, you get bonus points if you can bake it right into the answer. How do you envision interoperability will change the overall structure and dynamics of blockchain ecosystems in the foreseeable future? So what we can, not like the question we had before, which is unforeseeable future, or no, like in the immediate future. It's like how will interoperability change our lives in the next year or two?
So something that I harp on is that interoperability is now the same thing as scaling when you look at Ethereum's roadmap. And I think in the foreseeable future, as interop becomes more seamless, as you know, hopefully, you know, I'm biased, but I hope that more teams are building on top of LeFi, and you start using, you know, bridge aggregation to connect between all of these chains. I'm hoping that this brings scale, and in my opinion, scale brings institutions. We're already seeing, you know, Visa and PayPal and Starbucks and a whole bunch of bigger players come into the space. I believe as we scale more, that this will only become a bigger and bigger deal. I believe payment processors and, you know, exchanges are going to be the first big players here. And so I see interop being the key cornerstone of institutional adoption of what we call DeFi. And I'm very excited about the role that LeFi will play in that.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, with the aspect of utilizing NFTs and multi-resources, I feel like some of these kind of like sub NFTs are more of like an item in the game or like in the, you know, gaming per se, and have a really good use case. And then also with our project VStore, like having hybrid assets that originated from, you know, Solana can be teleported to Ethereum or Cosmos. It could just live somewhere and it doesn't necessarily have to be a set chain from its origin. And that's a huge play on just NFTs in general. And then also just like that introduction to another ecosystem, like broadens the use case of like communities, like conjoining communities that had no idea these technologies existed, or they can play certain games that you can only play on one particular chain, but you have to do something over on another chain. So it's like creating some type of like, you know, aggregation between different like ecosystems, like where you can coexist and it doesn't matter where you're from, you can just play, you know, play a game like Fortnite, you know, where you can be on any console and you can just jump on whatever and play your game with whoever, whatever system they choose to play on or ecosystem. Or so I think there's just like a huge broad use case here for gaming for sure, like Dylan was mentioning.
Cool. And Dia?
Yeah, I'll take that as my cue. I actually agree with that. My focus on like sort of the next 2 years for this question is kind of shared communities. I think one of the terms you mentioned in the beginning was tribalism. And I think tribalism kind of hinders our progress with regard to a lot of different things, with like mass adoption, with education of, you know, all around blockchain technology. I think that more interoperability will hopefully create more shared communities across different chains and less siloed off assets, less siloed tribalism, and create more of a collective kind of drive to bring this technology to the forefront of, you know, the regular Web2 user, rather than just arguing amongst ourselves about which chain or which technology is better. You know, working together can kind of, I think, really advance things kind of in terms of bringing on the masses. So yeah, my answer would reflect ideally the community aspect that can be improved from more connection and interoperability between chains.
Awesome. And one thing that we like to do to wrap things up on the MC Square Finance Twitter X Spaces, I'd like to put it to Chris, Mr. Chris Richter, co-founder of MC Square. I know that I've seen personally what you're building over here, and how this plays into interoperability is very clear in my mind. But Chris, you've got a panel of experts in front of you. What would you like to know from them?
First, I want to say, actually, I'm sorry. I was told that I was spoke over you guys. I think I have now 3 speakers where I cannot hear them anymore and have to listen to, like, to read what everybody's saying. That seems that X has some issues today. And for the topic of open interoperability, I think that a lot in the crypto space currently is a lot of secret knowledge, you know, like where you get the best strategies, where you get the right infos, what are actually the protocols that are really doing a good job. And I believe that interoperability will bring a lot of transparency. So it's easier to find what is really good. It's easier to identify what's good and especially what is bad, which I think that currently we should do a much better job in showing everybody what's bad. So like scamming is not so popular. And transparency brings therefore trust. And when we achieve the trust, then we achieve the growth. And I think that's also like what Dia mentioned a lot about the chains and as well as then institutionals. That's exactly the requirement that we will need to enable the next level of growth for the whole blockchain industry. And I think that's the best to achieve working together to focus on growing the ecosystem instead of working against each other. And therefore, big fan of interoperability.
May I add a couple of words?
Please do. Speaking?
All right. Yeah, Chris, I had the same issue as you with my headphones just not letting me know who is speaking now. What I think the next couple of years are going to be like will depend grandly on how the legal framework will look like, what the SEC will be saying, and how what regulation will be under. The, of course, the Grayscale's legal win versus SEC was a good moment. However, I do believe that we should all learn how to be flexible and how to be prepared for either of the scenarios. And as Igor was mentioning, the zero knowledge protocol should be a great help in that, in staying decentralized and still owning your own data, but being compliant. So if we learn how to be flexible and adjusting to the changing landscape of regulation, I think it will increase our chances to really realize full potential of blockchain in the coming years.
Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, let's wrap things up. I certainly learned a lot today, and I hope you all did as well. I followed each and every one of our speakers, so and everybody listening, do feel free to do the same. And with that, I'll bid everyone a very pleasant evening. And we hope to be in touch going forward as we build out this awesome application. And bye for now.